The Financial Sector Conduct Authority, the FSCA, has just issued what appears to be the first batch of crypto asset service provider, or CASP, licenses, a total of 75 licenses so far. This ushers in a new regime for the previously unregulated crypto space. One of the stated goals of licensing CASPs is to eliminate scams such as Mirror Trading International and AfriCrypt. Members of the public being enticed into crypto schemes can now check whether the company is licensed by the FSCA by accessing the list on the FSCA website. To help us understand what this new licensing regime means for the industry and consumers, we're joined by Currency Hub CEO and co-founder Andrew Ludwig. Hi, Andrew. Good to talk to you again. Maybe we can start there. Just explain, what is a CASP license and how does it fit into the FSP mandate, FSP being financial service provider? And specifically, does this mean licensed crypto firms are treated the same as other financial service providers that we're very familiar with, such as the banks?
Thank you, Kieran, and thank you for the opportunity to share in this information. I believe Currency Hub was one of the first to receive the CASP licenses. In fact, ours was issued in mid-March. And as you know, Kieran, and we've been on the show several times, you know, we decorate ourselves in being what we believe is the most regulated crypto service provider since 2019. And back then, that's when the CASP was merely entering the radar. So we've been decorated with the Category 1 and Category 2 FSCA licenses, as well as the Forex intermediary licenses. In terms of fitting into the mandate, it's just an extension to the existing products that we are mandated to use, noting our Cat 2 discretionary license and the subset of financial tools that power our actively traded arbitrage strategies.
All right. So who are these CASP licenses issued to? What is the qualifying criteria? And also, most importantly, what is the ongoing maintenance to make sure that you remain licensed?
So, Kieran, and for the benefit of your listeners, just bear with a whole lot of acronyms, which I will unpack into their full words. But essentially, the existing FSPs, financial service providers, all add the CASP license, that's the crypto asset service provider license, to their registered list of financial products. Now, new entrants need a key individual, and this individual needs to have minimum qualifications in terms of education and experience, which is ordinarily equipped in a financial services environment, like working for an advisory or an asset management firm, for example. Now, for crypto, it's a little bit different, perhaps a little bit more lenient. So Category 1 is your entry point. This is to perform the intermediary and advisory services akin to an insurance broker and financial advisor, for example. Category 2 is essentially the asset management license and requires much more stringent motivation. Now, in both cases, the FSCA authorizes individuals who now have crypto experience and the necessary infrastructure to render a professional service to support clients' needs. Now, just to put that in perspective, Category 1 key individual ordinarily needs around 12 months of managerial and oversight experience. And for the Category 2, ordinarily, you need 3 years managing third-party funds. And there's a slight gray area here in terms of the crypto Cat 2 allocations, and this will hopefully make more sense in due course. Now, in terms of the maintenance of these things, this is where it becomes very onerous and often discourages crypto pioneers from wanting to enter into the regulatory space. So we all now need to adhere to the regulation overseen by the FIC, FIC, Financial Intelligence Center. And they in turn impose the FASE Act, Financial Advisory Intermediary Services Act. Now, many of us are familiar with opening up bank accounts. We now have to do our FICA. We have to prove who we are, where we live. And we have to do a whole rigmarole for anti-money laundering. It's an acronym called AML. Now, this is what we as financial service providers have to do to screen our clients and on an ongoing process. And one of the big pain points coming up now is CPD, continual professional development. And for my colleagues out there, the deadline is the 31st of May, and most of us will require 24 points. 18 hours are essentially the norm for the financial services sector, and the CASP's requirements now requires an additional 6 hours. And this is enforced to make sure that we are continually kept informed and that our team and anyone in this industry is delivering the very best service that they can.
Currency Hub's best known to people who are familiar with MoneyWeb as a crypto arbitrage provider, where you identify low-risk opportunities for clients to profit from crypto price differences in different markets. What does this new licensing regime do for the Currency Hub profile and service offering? Is there going to be a change in the way that you front the market, should I say?
Yeah, so in terms of change, a whole lot and actually very little, Kieran. I mean, as you know, business as usual for us. We've been regulated by the FSCA for well over 5 years. In fact, 10 years if you include our Category 1 license. But what the CASP does for not just us, but everybody in the crypto space, it affords us credibility and accountability. And the much needed consumer protection that will essentially come from our regulator, the FSCA, in the event that we are no longer credible and have demonstrated that we are now accountable. Now, what this also does for us as a CASP and a financial service provider is allows us an ability to interact with other financial service providers. They in turn can now offer advice. They can provide intermediary services, but they too will also likely need the CASP criteria on their product list. Now, in terms of what it does for Currency Hub and the arbitrage, again, I reiterate, we've been using the CAT 2 and the tools that lend themselves to us and a very, very sophisticated set of arbitrage strategies. Nothing changes there because we have and had had everything in place since 2019, notwithstanding the CASP. But there are now many more ways in which we can collaborate with the greater industry to galvanize our hedge fund and crypto experience and essentially integrate with the traditional world of finance and crypto pioneers.
All right. What should consumers be on the lookout for when engaging with financial service providers, particularly when they suggest that they qualify to offer crypto-related services or advice? We know that a lot of the scams that we've seen in South Africa are being promoted on social media. I guess one of the obvious things is people can go to the FSCA website and see if they're registered and they do have a CASP license. But what else?
Oh, absolutely, Kieran. So I think we've got to be vigilant and there are a lot of chances out there. And the regulation and the service providers, they still need to catch up and meet up with each other. So the FSCA is an enforcer and it does come with teeth. And we know from previous interviews with Gerard van der Venter, who you've interviewed, that they are enforcing. And that is reassuring that that is in place for us and for the consumer. So every FSP is visible on the FSCA website. Here you can search by its name or you can search by its FSP number. If the information doesn't match, then be cautious. Another area to refer to is CASA, the Crypto Asset Association of South Africa. And here CASA lists their members. And at this opportunity, I'd like to give a shout out to David Porter, who oversees this role. Now, anyone entering the crypto space has to perform a much deeper due diligence than you ordinarily do with the other financial services provider because there are so many scams. And this is covered ad nauseum. So my advice to anyone is look for reasons not to invest. Look for where the telltale signs are. There are clues in the website, which is usually riddled with typos. There are big promises. There's a lack of transparency or limited access to who the owners are. They might not be present on the website. And these, to me, as a would-be investor in the crypto space, would be the first things to look out for. But just be vigilant.
How is Currency Hub supporting other crypto pioneers and financial service professionals? You previously indicated that you were launching a kind of a boot camp type facility for other people in the crypto space. Talk about that.
Yes, thanks, Kieran. I mean, the boot camp incubator, for want of a better word. But essentially, over the last 18 months, we've been working closely with several crypto pioneers who no longer want to do the arbitrage, either because the premium had dropped so low and they simply couldn't compete in the low margins that were available, or they were simply overwhelmed by the regulatory landscape. I'm not suggesting that they didn't want to be regulated, but reasons for not going the FSP route are largely due to them, data scientists, for example, not having the minimum criteria to become asset managers. So there was a barrier to entry. Over and above that, the ongoing expenses and the regulatory burden to maintain your compliance in this regard is hugely burdensome. So the incubator that we have essentially overseen for some time incorporates communities of other crypto pioneers who will benefit from our knowledge and experience and regulatory backgrounds. And we will support them where we can in becoming regulated FSPs in due course. Now, As an example, we've successfully incorporated a number of communities of arbitrage clients and the very entrepreneurs who built those communities, most of whom, I might add, did arbitrage at a side hustle. So we have been able to create a win-win for not only the clients who now earn a materially higher premium based on our experience and our strategies, which I believe outperform most of the market by 20%+. Now, the business owners themselves continue to earn a very profitable annuity income off our profits. And as such, we keep the markets buoyant. And I believe there's a lot more runway ahead for us. Kieran, thank you for this opportunity. As you know, we've always been big advocates for regulation. And the regulation of crypto is no different to what was regulating hedge funds back in 2015. These higher standards bring greater credibility to a new and exciting industry. And while I sympathize for the Bitcoin maxis, they will benefit downstream. The institutional adoption has followed. Let's note the success of the US ETFs and the flows that have come from that and the rise in prices like Bitcoin and Ethereum because of that. And I truly believe there will be an upward trend for digital assets, albeit with volatility, but therein lies the opportunity. And in the interim, with this premium where it is trending at around 2.5% gross, at those levels, our clients stand to make between 150 and 200,000 Rand in a few months. So for as long as there's exchange control, for as long as the Bitcoin is going up and down, and for as long as there's a Rand-dollar relationship, we hope that we can continue to service our clients and many more through the arbitrage strategy we perform.
And I'm sure the FSCA would be delighted that somebody is stepping in to help in the way that you're doing. So we're going to leave it there. That was Andrew Ludwig, who is the CEO and co-founder of Currency Hub. Thank you, Andrew.